B63, number 2B.
All right. So, can you see in this way, we really see that truth always comes first and error second. That the divine mind first gives us the truth about the situation. And through that truth, we recognize its counterfeit. That the divine mind does not give us first the error. And then we have to find the truth about it. But it's always a revelation of the divine purpose that is in the Christ idea. In this way we arrive at that bridge where we come from absolute Christian Science to Christian Science, where the Christ then enforces, so to say, the coincidence of God and man by destroying everything that is unlike the divine, and that is naturally the relationship between truth and error. Here we find under point one that the Christ is the manifestation of the idea in spite of error. You hear the relationship of truth and error. What is that relationship when regarded from the point of view of Christ? It says that the Christ is that expression of God, that self-expression of God, that power of God that comes to the human in spite of error. That's the very first thing that we have to see, that it manifests itself in spite of the opposite. It does not need the cooperation of the opposite. It is not rejected by the opposite. It just is, what is that, point two, retranslating the opposite or mortal mind back into the divine mind. Here we have on the point two, on the level of absolute Christian Science, that what we read quite often in the textbook, in the prose work, that Christian Science translates matter back, so to say, into mind, into spirit, that it is retranslating error out of itself into the truth. Here again we see that the starting point is not that we reverse error in order to arrive at truth, but that it is from above, so to say from God, that the Christ is operating, bringing to human consciousness the true idea, and the human consciousness therefore can detect the counterfeit of it as error, but as it has first got the true idea, it translates it back to the true idea. So the impact of the Christ is always that it enlightens us, that it brings us clarification, that it brings us inspiration, that it shows us the true idea, that it brings us the right situation, the right occasions to correct something. It always is that wonderful Savior and Helper that comes to us, the Redeemer that comes to us and says, I bring you the truth, and with that you can translate back, translate error back into the truth. So it is the retranslation, just as we will find it then afterwards in the translation of mortal mind, which shows that retranslation of error back into truth. Actually, it's interesting that Mrs. Eddy never uses that term retranslate. It's something that we use. I think John Dolly also used it, and we use it, because it indicates something, that retranslation. It indicates that what has to be translated back into truth is in the first place a wrong translation. You remember we did take that article on rectification and how Mr. Zeddy showed that evil came really into being through a false way of reasoning by saying God created evil, God knows evil, and therefore third, we fear evil. So this is a translation from God to man, to mortals, but it is a false translation. It is not the right translation, and I do that. That also clear. So evil comes into, I can't say into existence because it never exists, but evil gets into expression, or we notice evil, actually not because God created it, but because we translated God in a wrong way to us. We had a wrong sense of translation. And so actually, because of this wrong translation, how is that? There is one statement in the textbook where Mrs. Eddy says that material sense would translate spiritual facts into material things, something like that. The meaning is that. You see, that this is a wrong translation. That material sense would like to translate God into error and give to error, to evil, the power and the power and the intelligence of God, the reality of God. So only because there is first that mistranslation, there must be a retranslation. Re means translating back to. And it's good to see that, or else we always feel, well, evil, we start out by taking evil as something that is there, as an existence, as a reality, as something that has identity and that has to be knocked over and that has to be uncovered and destroyed, which is a much harder starting point than to see, oh no, that evil doesn't exist. We made it. We made it by translating God wrongly, by a mistranslation of God to man. Therefore, we say to ourselves, well, then it's much easier to get rid of evil. I only have to go back and make a true translation, which is the translation of immortal mind, which is the translation of immortal mind, which translates God to man as idea. God, man, idea are the subtitles. And therefore, if we start that way, then naturally we have a true translation, and that true translation never brings about evil. Therefore, there would not even be a necessity of translating mortal mind back to divine mind. Yes. So, our Christ is also defined as point three, as that which uncovers the specific error. Now we have the uncovering of specific error. How? We have seen that that happens really through the divine mind reading in Absolute Christian Science, and then through the relationship of truth to error. Knowing that relationship, we can uncover the specific error. That's what we are taught in class teaching, that's what's taught in Christian Science, that a specific error needs a specific truth to be rectified. That's okay. But what we must be aware of is, what is the method? Because at once when we say, well, a specific error must be corrected with a specific truth, we make the mistake and say, we know the specific error. We know that I have a headache. Therefore, how can I translate that to a specific truth? I know that I'm afraid. All right, and I can translate it into love because love knows no fear. And that's wrong. That's wrong. Why am I afraid? I'm afraid because of a wrong translation. Therefore, I must see what is behind it. And I must go out from God first and say, why I'm afraid? I may be afraid because of many, many beliefs. And those beliefs have to be handled specifically in order that I lose my fear and that in order that I'm healed of those beliefs which produced the fear. So, this would mean uncovering specific error. So we never know what the specific error is from the phenomena. We never know. Just think of that. Mind must first tell us the true idea. And you see how pure science is. By Mrs. Eddy always says, science reverses. Science reverses. Divine science reverses. Divine science and science is always that which says, I go out from the divine principle and deduce from the divine principle. I translate the divine principle through right deduction to the point of specific ideas. That's science that does it. So we have a very pure science which always says, go out from principle. Whatever has to be done, go back to principle, think about John Dolly's method, say, I take evil and put it right behind me in a corner and leave it there for the moment, but I turn to the divine mind and I fill my thoughts with the divine mind. That divine mind will tell me the specific truth, and that specific truth will take care by itself of that thing which I have put into the corner. I'm not going to take care of that. The divine idea will have to take care of that. Yes. So, if we have epitomized these main points through 1, 2, and 3, we can now go back again to this column and try to see if we can catch the tonality of the whole column, the tonality of the Christ. And I think we are perhaps helped if we go now from point one in divine science to point one in absolute Christian science and then to point one in Christian science, because they have the same purpose, the same aim, and in this way perhaps we can catch the tone much better as one. Let's try it. We go through from one to one to one. What is the Christ? Mrs. Eddy says the Christ is the self-expression of being. And I get the wonderful sense being expresses itself. Being expresses itself. And I go to the one in absolute Christian science which says, and by expressing itself, itself realizes itself. It realizes itself in every detail. Can you hear the Niagara fall? This time it's right. Huh? I can see that waterfall coming down and say, I'm going to realize myself in every detail. And I come to point one in Christian science, which says, and that manifests the true idea of God, of mind, in spite of error. Nothing can flow up that waterfall. Everything is drawn with that, is carried away with that waterfall. Nothing will be able to go against it. And I get the terrific sense of the Christ descent, which says, again, I go through the one which says the Christ expresses itself by itself and realizes itself by itself and manifests itself as idea in spite of everything. and you get the tone of the Christ. It's always from above translated down. The word is always the ascending path, the ascending way of understanding. The Christ is always the descent of the Holy Ghost, the descent of the one being coming right down and says, I'm that terrific power that is going to accomplish what I want to accomplish, and that I accomplish in spite of error. Can you hear this? This is the Christ idea. Yeah? If we entertain that in our consciousness, think how wonderful our life would be if we would go around day in and day out with that hum, with that music, which just always says, don't worry. There is nothing to worry about. I'm the Christ. And I'm ever present, ever active, all powerful, because I'm the Christ, I'm the self-expression of God, and I realize myself in every detail. I'm not just an amorphous idea that just says I express myself and we don't know how to express. It says, no, I express myself in every detail, in every situation, and I express that in spite of every counterfeit belief. Yes? Or we take the point two, and there again we get the tonality of the Christ, which says, yes, the Christ is the ideal of God. It's so big that it takes the ideal of God. Well, do we want something more, or can we think about something higher than the ideal of God? Whatever that ideal is, we may not even know what the ideal is, but the very fact that it is the ideal already gives us that wonderful peace and rest within ourselves that we say, the ideal will be expressed, not something halfway-ish, not something small, not something insignificant. The whole ideal, whatever that ideal is the Christ expressing itself. And then in Absolute Christian Science it says, and that ideal translates itself to the point of every idea, making every idea, making every situation, making every detail ideal. Always the optimum. And doing that, we come to Christian Science at the point two, that will retranslate what is wrong. It will retranslate mortal mind back into the divine mind. It will retranslate everything that is not up to that ideal and bring it right back to the ideal idea. Can you listen again to the tonality of it? Here the accent of the Christ is on its ideal, which says, Christ is the ideal of God. Yes, that's not abstract, that's not up in heaven, that's not on cloud nine, because the Christ translates that ideal right down to every idea, to every situation, to every place, and to every moment. It has no space, no time, therefore it's ever present, and it translates itself as an ideal situation, as an ideal channel, as an ideal situation, as an ideal form. And I can just see that everything has an ideal form. And that retranslates everything that seems to be not up to standard. It retranslates it. Because besides an ideal, there can nothing be that is not ideal. Or we come to point three. We can make that run with the point three. We have on the level of divine science first, truth itself. Where we go out and say, well, Mrs. Eddy says that the Christ is truth, that the Christ is really that which affirms itself, which establishes itself, which claims itself, which is conscious of itself, that's the truth, and that Christ truth translates itself to the level of absolute Christian science as showing us that one truth in all the specific truths. It translates the generality into the specific and shows us through divine mind reading always the specific truth, and that specific truth on the level of Christian science uncovers and annihilates the specific error. And so you have truth coming right down to error as a descent of the one truth that through divine mind reading reveals the right idea, which is the fact about every counterfeit. Yeah. Can you see, in this way you can take these books and these findings from the textbook. They are all from the textbook. I haven't made them up. It's not my teaching. It's really the teaching of Christian Science. We really should get into the habit and that you don't feel that you are my students. You should never really refer to Max as my teacher, actually. Well, naturally, humanly, you do that. We said, well, Max has teaching me this and that. But fundamentally, in your heart, in your conviction, you should feel that everything comes from the textbook. And the textbook has everything from God. So, actually, the textbook should be the teacher, and there is no personal teacher. And actually, the moment one feels, well, that's personal teaching, that's a teaching that cannot be proved through the textbook, that cannot be distilled from the textbook, one should not accept it. One should not accept it. So I feel that I always try to the best I can to present that which can be taken out of the textbook. Now, the textbook reveals that there are various levels of science. The textbook reveals that there are four sides of the city, and one side of the city is the Christ. So all that is not from me, it's from the textbook. It's the textbook that gives these various definitions which I have in the column here under the title Science and Health. The textbook has said that. The only thing that I have done is column 2 to try to epitomize what is in the textbook, to reduce to just few terms. But those few terms, as you see, if you go from those few terms, 1, 2, 3, to the left side, you see that they are epitomes of what is stated in the textbook. So again, I feel it's not my teaching. I only have epitomized it in order to make it a bit more clear, to oversee it better. But then, naturally, the point is that we should never be satisfied just with such an analysis. That analysis is super important, what we have done up to this point in the Christ is super important, but the work only begins now. Namely, that work where the student says, now I have to imbibe really the tonality of it, the spirit of the exact analysis. And how can I do that? And you see that this is done in the best way, by really going through those levels according to the point 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 2, 3, 3, 3, because that cultures the tonality of what the letter has shown. And it's only actually when we get the spirit of it, which is similar to what I say, the tonality of it, only when we get the tonality of it, it begins to be us. It begins to become subjective in us. humanly subjective in us, so that it becomes an inward attitude, and if we culture that tonality more and more, it becomes finally consciousness. See, we have concept building, tonality building, then consciousness building. It becomes conscious. It becomes reflex consciousness, a consciousness that does not have to think about the tonality. See, the tonality is only a bridge to consciousness. The tonality is a listening consciousness and going over it and hearing it until finally it becomes so subjective that it becomes independent of my thinking. So it becomes spiritual consciousness. And the moment it becomes spiritual consciousness, it's your being. You get being building. It becomes our whole being. Namely, that consciousness then determines our life experience. That consciousness is then not something by itself, but it's the cause, again, of our life experience. So that consciousness building of the tonality of the Christ will be always that which determines our beingness, what happens in our life. So that you really then experience that things happen without thinking of it. That great things happen without having had to think about it, without having had to say, I must make that demonstration. It makes me to be demonstrated. Principle demonstrates itself as me. And that's naturally the highest point. It's the divinely subjective that objectifies itself in the human. Without that, I'm humanly aware of it. Yes. So, as a last word, can you see how you can use your evening hours or your morning hours, if you are a morning man or woman, or an evening man or woman, where you do really your nice study, you can see you have a method. You have a method to use. Use it. But don't give up after the second day. Don't give up after a week. Don't give up after a month. Don't give up after a year. You know, we have been trained now 60 or 70 years in the wrong. Why don't we give a year for the right? Why do we expect that all that has been wrong 70 years just to be in 1 second be different? These are very rare occasions that like a pole, like a soul became a pole, just that. Actually, he didn't. He only had the vision like that, but it took him 14 years to digest it, to think about it, and only then he went out and brought it to the Gentiles. Okay, this afternoon we go on with that Christ.